mojobreak.com.
Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to the Mojo Break Sports Card Show Podcast, Episode 7. Like Michael Vick, lucky episode. I'm Doug Fresh.
I'm Dan Rage.
We got all kinds of stuff to talk about today. Hobby news, there's all kinds of stuff coming out. We got a large review segment. We're going to talk about Topps Inception. We're going to talk about Topps Football, the basic football, the Jumbo HTA.
Lineage.
And Lineage came out.
Don't forget about Lineage.
We broke all of them over the last week. We were all carded out. We're going to talk about it. And then we're going to end it with baseball prospects. So it should be a real exciting show. We're going to hit you with the hobby news right now.
Oh, yeah.
Hobby news time. Football's back. Everybody's excited. What do you think about that?
I'm pretty stoked. Got a couple preseason games under our belt now, so checking out the new rookies.
Yeah, looks like Cam Newton had a decent game, his first start. Stevan Ridley.
What, two touchdowns?
Two touchdowns. You know, there's A.J. Green seems to be picking things up. There's some Jake Locker didn't do too bad, so it's interesting.
Andy Dalton was playing, right?
Andy Dalton was playing.
Probably starting, right? I think he might be the guy.
I think so far. I mean, the Carson Palmer's like forced to retire, and Andy Dalton's the guy. It's, you know what, there's going to be a lot of teams blitzing a rookie quarterback.
Absolutely.
It's fresh meat.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But in honor of the lockout, which I don't know if you can honor it, but
honor of the lockout. We're going to honor the lockout.
Raise the flag, the lockout flag. Fans' patience is rewarded by an NFL preseason promotion. What the NFL is doing is they announced that 32 of its teams will be honoring their fans during the preseason. Each team will distribute 90 autographed jerseys to randomly selected fans. Players, owners, and coaches will present them in special ceremonies across the league. Green Bay already gave away at like a scrimmage, so it's pretty cool.
That's pretty. It's pretty nice of the NFL going out of their way to give away a couple jerseys. Because what do the fans give them? Billions of dollars.
Yeah, millionaires and billionaires.
Yeah, you know, it's good to see them giving back.
And back to the community.
Giving back.
Maybe they can give those cards to Panini and Topps. So we can get some more game use cards.
Maybe. Maybe. You know? Just maybe.
So hopefully.
Maybe some rookie premiere 50 jerseys worn.
Yeah.
You know, all that good stuff.
Have them dated. I don't know, you know. But anyways, so that's pretty cool. Getting into some Topps news. Topps debuted their look for 2012. So they're giving us a glimpse of their future look for their baseball cards, which usually, you know, fall into the template for the football cards as well. I think it looks pretty cool. They showed a picture of Ryan Braun swinging the bat.
I don't see a border there. There could be a border.
It was it's on a white sheet, so it could be a border.
But I do like the, it's not busy, and I like that. And that's what I always like about Topps, like the regular Topps base cards. They're not too busy, and you know what? It's a killer looking photo. I like it.
Yeah, and they actually promised that next year's design, not just the base cards, will be a game changer. So they got something up their sleeve, I guess. So we'll see. It's exciting. I always liked the Topps set. I always liked the format. I've loved it the last 2 years. Just the way that it's just simple. It's basic. It's kind of back to basics.
Back to the basics.
You know, so it's that time of year again when Panini has the Guess the Autograph contest. There's been some controversy over the last couple years because the autographs that they present on their website have looked like circles and squares and a monkey fucking a coconut. I don't know. It's hard to tell. You know, it's hard to tell whose autograph that is. It's kind of a shot in the bucket. But this year they lessened it to 12 instead of 20. What the grand prize is going to include is 4 certified autographs, which I guess that they will announce, and a box of 2011 Panini Americana.
Smart. Very excited about that.
Does anybody care about Panini Americana?
What is a Panini Americana? I think it's like pop stars and just like
you can get a Britney Spears auto.
Reality TV stars, maybe a situation from Jersey Shore.
Oh, nice.
I don't. Well,
so a douchebag edition.
D-bag edition. I don't know. Maybe the situation's in there. Maybe he's not. I have no idea.
Well, that would truly be a situation if he wasn't in there.
Yeah, that would be.
Especially for his diehard fans.
Some real shit right there. Yeah, I don't know. It's cool when they're always doing some giveaway, grand prizes, autographs. Kind of a cool little concept.
It's free. I shouldn't be clowning on it because it is free.
You know, and, you know, we love free stuff. And, you know, way to go, Panini. Way to go.
Hopefully there's some cool autographs, you know, maybe Cam Newton or something. I don't know. Maybe it's some decent stuff, but definitely gives you time when you're sitting on your couch and you're watching preseason football and there's nothing to do. You can jump online and try to guess the autographs.
So. You are getting an autograph, an NFL autograph, an NBA autograph, an NHL autograph. So that's, you know.
I get a little variety
there.
Not
bad.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So it does end on August 21st. We're recording this podcast on August 19th, so you have a few days. Hopefully,
run. Do it now.
Do it now. Be the first to get it done.
Finish, you know what I mean? Listening to the podcast first, but after that, straight to Panini's website.
Maybe you're a multitasker. You can go on there. You can go on there right now.
Oh yeah.
Bowman Sterling. Both products have been kind of previewed over the last couple days. I'm excited. My nipples are hard. Bowman Sterling is one of my highly collectible sets. Love it. Love the way that it looks. I love all the hits in one box.
Got to get it quick, too.
Got to
get it quick.
It does definitely jump up every year. The baseball edition of Bowman Sterling. Take a guess on who's going to be in it.
Did he just hurt his hamstring yesterday?
I think you might be on the right track.
Bryce Harper?
Yep, Bryce Harper.
All right.
You know, why not, right? You know, yeah. He's definitely in the set, so there's going to be some Bryce
Harper. Right now he's in the set.
He's
on the sell sheet.
Wouldn't think they'd pull him out. Last year they had Strasburg. Looking at the cards, they look pretty cool. Dante Bichette's son's in the set. His name's Dante Bichette.
Yes, Junior.
Yeah. No, it doesn't say Junior.
Well, it does right there.
Oh, okay.
Smart.
Trevor Bauer, there's going to be rookie cards of Hosmer, Dustin Ackley, Mike Moustakas. Looks like they got two, the game-used memorabilia pieces are going to be like dual pieces, so they've updated that as well.
What is that, Michael Pineda?
That's from the Mariners.
Yeah, Mariners, huh?
Yeah, it looks like a Michael Pineda autograph relic piece, and what they show looks like it's the Mariners logo, so looks like they're doing more multicolor this year, so which seems to be the theme.
The base cards seem really, really cool, but they seem classic Sterling. They didn't really change up the design from last year or the previous years.
Yeah, I mean, they probably figured let's not, you know, change something that worked. So yeah, I think it's
not broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. So Sterling, and then football is going to have you know, your run of the mill Cam Newton autos, all the rookie autos, same format. They're both coming out in December, but word on the street is you might be looking at more like January. So, football's hot.
Yeah, football will be really, really strong. You're going to get some, there's definitely some Newton stuff in there, right?
Newton stuff, all the big name rookies. It's it says Bowman Sterling has two things, rookie cards and hits. Each pack has one autograph, two relic cards, and two rookie cards.
Six packs per box?
Yeah, same breakdown.
Yep.
50 card base set. So there's only going to be a few veterans as far as the base set. So it looks like it's available mid-December, but everything's been pushed out. So
yeah, we're thinking January on that.
Yeah, it looks like there's a 60-card autograph checklist, which includes both veteran and rookie signatures. There's blue refractors, number to 99, black to 50, gold to 25, Pulsar refractors, whatever that is, number to 15, so that's new. Printing plates, and of course, the ever-so-famous Superfractor.
118 hits per case.
That's a lot of hits per case. It's going to be a good break. Get at us on that, mojobreak.com. I'm sure we'll be starting, not going to be selling it yet, but pretty soon we'll start taking
We'll probably start selling it in late October.
It's a boner set. It's going to make, I'm hoping for a boner review, so I hope they don't let me down. I hope there's not a whole lot of redemptions, and I hope the quality control is bueno. So, Topps is trying to sue Leaf over the Best of Baseball. Leaf usually kind of goes right under the radar. Not a whole lot of people care about their regarbled stuff.
Did you just say regarbled?
Regarbled. It's a word I've used before. So
regarbled.
I'm trademarking it.
Okay.
But this set actually seemed to take off compared to, like, they had the rookie retro series that they did. A lot of people didn't buy that, didn't sell very well. But the Leaf Best of Baseball actually took off. So I think Topps noticed. And what Topps is suing them for is that they have a poster that uses the Mickey Mantle, the Ricky Henderson rookie cards, and Topps is saying, hey, that's ours. You can't sell your product using our photos.
Yeah, that's they got a point there.
They do. I mean,
they do have a point, but it was purchased as a graded card, right?
Correct.
Well, the one they're pimping here and trying to sell doesn't have any kind of grade on it.
It doesn't. It's, you know, and in their photo, it shows it not graded. Oh, actually, it does. It does show it graded. Mm-hmm. But I think they're saying that that's intellectual property of theirs, and that you can, I think you can resell it as a buyback, but I don't think you can promote your product. So you can't sell or advertise your product using somebody else's photos.
This is going to be a hard one for Topps to win.
Yeah.
It's going to be, there's a big gray area, so... but you know, Topps has to look out for number one, so they can't have people jumping in on their game.
Well, you know what's gonna happen is they're gonna spend a lot of money on lawyers, and then we're gonna pay $20 more per box, so that they get. Thank you, Leaf.
Is it so? It's Leaf's fault.
It's Leaf's fault.
It's not Topps'
nope,
fault.
Nope, absolutely not. I don't buy Leaf, so no. I'm just kidding. So on to some UFC news. Kind of interesting UFC news. We don't talk about UFC a whole lot, and I want to start getting into it. I'm a UFC fan. I watch it. Dan's a boxing guy. He thinks UFC is for the birds, but...
Boxing is an event, man. It's an event. UFC happens literally... It's like going on every 3 days. There's something going down.
Yeah, but you know what? UFC... Boxing is like Nintendo, and UFC is like...
UFC is like, ouch, my balls. Like, you
but
just want to see
lot
somebody
more moving parts going
I just
want
to see somebody get hit in the face as hard as they can. Come on.
Would you rather play Nintendo or would you rather play Xbox 360?
I'd rather play Nintendo. I love
old school.
I love retro video games.
They are pretty fun, but
man, tell me that Excite Bike and Mike Tyson's Punch Out is not dope.
Yeah, it's pretty fun games, you know.
Mike Tyson Punch Out, dude.
What's the code for Punch Out?
007-373-5963. That just happened right there.
Or up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, start.
I think it's BA.
BA?
BA select.
What game is that from?
Contra?
Yeah, that's good knowledge. Dropping the 8-bit knowledge on you. If you weren't born in the 80s, you probably have no clue what we're talking about.
About ready to start blowing into one of my cartridges right now.
Getting out my Game Genie. but the UFC, they freaked out. I guess this guy came out in like a Speedo. He was a fighter.
Freaked out?
They freaked out about it because the guy's wearing next to nothing. It looked like a Chippendale dancer. And by the looks of the photo, he has training mask written on his bikini bottoms.
That's on his junk.
I hope that somebody doesn't use that as a training mask after he's done fighting.
That's on his junk.
That'd be a lot of stuff going on in your face if you use that for a training mask. Ooh. So... Dennis Hallman was the offender. He wore Speedos into the ring in UFC 133. In fact, UFC president Dana White gave $70,000 bonus to Hallman's opponent, Brian Ebersole, for knocking him out in the first round. So he's like, hey, that's uncalled for. Let's knock this mother out, you know? So I feel him, you know? It's not good TV. You got people watching it. You don't see man butt, you know? It's just, you know... Maybe the guy was into himself and he wanted to show off his definition down there. I don't know. What do you think about wearing that kind of stuff to the ring?
Well, pro wrestling, they did that back in the day all the time. I don't really know what the issue is. It's just, I mean, let's face it, man. UFC, you're going to be rolling on the ground with the dude anyway. You might as well just get naked.
Yeah, there's always man and man action going on.
That's
anyway.
Why boxing is the shit, man. You're just standing up, punching people in the face.
Yeah, I mean, there is...
A little bit of hugging once in a while, but that's because you're tired.
Yeah.
You just need a shoulder to lean on.
There's no rear naked chokes. But, so yeah, UFC, pretty cool, but apparently Dana White does not like Speedos.
And, yeah, I don't know. UFC is kind of weak. Sorry, everybody. I know everybody loves UFC, but I'm old school.
I completely disagree.
I'm old school.
Well, you can... Old school your way to waiting for a Manny Pacquiao fight in a year and a half from now.
Yeah.
Because that's the only one that sells tickets these days. There's no Don King, there's no Mike Tyson, Holyfield since retired, and Joe Foreman sells grills, so there's really nothing going on in boxing.
Oh, dude, Floyd. Pretty boy Floyd.
Well, he doesn't want to fight. He's undefeated. He doesn't want to break his tainted record.
There's Julio Cesar Chavez's kid.
Who?
Yeah.
No one cares about boxing.
Oh, man. Whatever.
You know. So, on to some sports news. Oregon coach Chip Kelly not concerned that the star players were arrested driving 118 miles per hour while smoking weed.
Smoking tree.
When they got pulled over, his starting quarterback said that we smoked it all to the cops. They asked, "Where's the marijuana?" And he said, "We smoked it all." That's the starting quarterback for the Oregon State Ducks. So, same officer asked to take a closer look. He asked to take a closer look at driver Cliff Harris's Pac-10 championship ring. So he's, "Oh, marijuana. Let me see that ring." So he's a little starstruck. Sounds like.
I'm gonna have to write that down. I mean, way to go.
Yeah.
Way to think outside the box. You get pulled over. Cop's like, "Where's all the weed?" He's all, "Smoked it."
Hey.
What are you gonna do at that point?
Possession is 9/10 of the law when you exactly. don't have any.
Yeah. He's like, "Dude, I'm totally high right now.
Yeah, I'm stoned out of my mind."
But, yeah, that's
But 118 miles per hour
in a rental car.
That was a rental car.
Wonder
wasn't
if it was a Focus.
Might have been. Those
probably not.
Would have overheated.
I don't know if you can get 118 in a Focus, but...
Maybe going downhill.
Maybe. Neutral.
He was also driving without any driver's license. The rental car was paid by an OU employee he claimed was his girlfriend. So, wonder what kind of... If he got off, I mean, that's just... The guy was just astounded by his blank.
I'm not worried about it. Oregon's coach isn't worried about it.
Yep.
I think we're good.
Yeah, I don't think it was on ESPN, but I found that on badjocks.com. So
awesome website.
Great website. Former Raven Jermaine Lewis, you ever heard of him?
Nope.
Probably most people haven't. He was tasered in his own home. You really just can't make this stuff up. Jermaine Lewis, a former wide receiver of the Baltimore Ravens, was spotted allegedly driving erratically early Monday morning. Someone noticed this, probably walking their little dog in the morning, called 911. They followed his vehicle and watched it smash into several cars before pulling into his driveway at his home. When officers arrived at his house, they found Lewis's car outside, minus its grill and its turn signal, and the former player inside, sitting on the couch with his shorts around his knees. He also appeared to be intoxicated, and when officers tried to arrest him, Lewis resisted and was tasered. What do you think he was doing?
I think he was bored. He had a couple cocktails. He decided to go out for a little ride. His pants fell down at some point. No reason to judge him. He's just a man looking for a good time.
Well, I hear a lot of rumors about black guys. Maybe he was trying to drive with it.
Well, he had shorts on. Maybe he was looking for a pickup game of basketball. I know that's. I used to play a lot of basketball in the day.
You play with your shorts around your ankles?
He was in a lot of accidents.
I'm just saying.
Maybe he was driving and trying to rub one out real quick.
He could have been doing that, or I was thinking. You know, they say black guys are fairly large in that area. He might have been steering with it. Maybe he was. You know, he had his hands doing something else. You know, I mean, maybe he was trying to do a documentary on how to drive.
They found him inside his house. You ever get into your house and the first thing you do is take your pants off?
I can't say I've ever done that before, you know?
Well, sometimes I wear snap pants to work, so when I get home, I can just snap them off.
maybe he had some bad McDonald's and he was running to the bathroom or something. You know what I mean? His stomach was in.
But they didn't find him in the bathroom, or he may have relieved himself on the couch.
You know, sometimes I get bad Jack in a Box too, and I gotta run in, and my pants come off before I hit the toilet. You know, maybe that's what he was doing.
Snap pants, dude.
Snap pants.
Snap pants.
But what violations he got was. Failure of vehicle driver in accident to report property damage to nearest police. Failure to stop after unattended property damage accident.
That first one sounds like he was a little preoccupied.
Yeah, well,
I don't think his number one concern in life was trying to report the damage to the cops.
Yeah, pants on the ground, you know, it's kind of...
So, yeah, go ahead.
Failure to notify owner of unattended property of damage. Failure to control speed to avoid a collision. Driving on a suspended license, driving on a revoked license. Those last two kind of a bummer.
You know what? It sounded like Jermaine Lewis didn't give an F. Just straight did not give an F. He's like, you know what? I don't care. All those issues you guys are getting me for? Preoccupied.
He's just worried about his pants being down on the ground.
Well, suspended license, revoked license. They could have put those together, right?
There's no DUI, though. That's what's... It says appeared to be intoxicated, well, they're not charging him with a DUI.
But they didn't find him... He wasn't driving a car. They don't have any proof. I mean, besides the car being in shambles and, you know,
And the other car is being damaged?
And the other car is being damaged, but I don't think they actually caught him driving the car.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks.
Well, at least they didn't get him for indecent exposure.
It's true, they could have got him. Maybe the lady with the dog saw his his member. But anyways, that does it for the news. The truth has been buried, held down by the hand that refuses to carry the burden you bear. The lies, do you hear me? The insult, the white flag you refuse to carry. I'm letting you go, and all that you showed me. I'm letting you know that you don't control me. The feeling is cold, and life is unfolding. Reckless and weary, I'm desperately holding on. So you can't get a word in, it's because I don't care what you think. Don't be alone inside a world that's filled with make-believe.
So where are you headed?
Aspen.
California. Beautiful.
Get right into the review segments. We got three sets to talk about. There's just been companies unloading sets over the last couple weeks for the National Sports Car Convention. So everybody just unloading their products. We're going to start off with Topps Football. We busted a case, a six-box jumbo HGA case of Topps Football. So we're going to get into it. I'm going to start with Dan. We're going to go over Category 1, which is the autos.
The autos are pretty nice. It seemed like they were falling one veteran auto, one rookie auto per box.
Yes.
It was two autos, one relic per box.
Correct.
So three hits. The autos were strong. There was the veterans were kind of... I mean, I think we got like a Jordan Shipley or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. We got a Sam Bradford.
We got a Sam Bradford. That was strong. But for the most part, the veteran autos were kind of your run-of-the-mill third receivers, backup running back, tight ends. Just it was nothing. No sex appeal. No Drew Brees, no quarterbacks, no Manning, no stuff like that. But the rookies were strong. I think the rookie class this year is going to be really strong, and I think all these products are going to be going up in value just based on how many quarterbacks and skill positions were taken in the first round.
Yep.
I think you just can't go wrong, and I think I'm going against the grain by saying that because I hear a lot of people saying that this rookie class was extremely weak. But what do you think, Doug?
Well, I think that there's a lot of guys that are going to be starting right away, which you didn't have in the last couple years. I mean, Sam Bradford started last year, but I think you got Andy Dalton that might start. You have possibly Locker, even mentions of Gabbert. Even Kaepernick is even fighting for a spot. So you got four quarterbacks that could start by the end of the year. Even Cam Newton, that's five. And then if McNabb sucks in Minnesota, you got Ponder. That's five quarterbacks that could be starting. And quarterbacks seem to draw the most in the card industry. Everybody wants their quarterback for their team. If I collect Minnesota, I want a Ponder autograph. I'm a Niner fan. I want a Colin Kaepernick auto. So.
Well, what's the most important position on the field?
Right, exactly.
And quarterback.
What cards warrant the most value? Quarterbacks.
Quarterback. And then next you got skill position. You got receivers. And there's two receivers that were drafted in the first round. I think there was more than two, but there's two that are going to be game changers. I mean, A.J. Green, Julio Jones are going to be studs. I think Julio Jones is going to have a better year just based on the system that he's in with the quarterback, with Roddy White on the other side. But there's also some running backs as well. There's Ryan Williams and Jonathan Baldwin.
Yep, Mark Ingram.
Stephen Ridley. I don't know if he was a first rounder, but I think he was definitely an early second rounder.
Ryan Williams for the Cardinals might actually have a shot. So, yeah, you know, the thing that I think about receivers this year, and this is my personal opinion, I think receivers are going to – these guys are going to take off next year. Because I think the playbook is so difficult to learn as a receiver and learning routes and blocking patterns and stuff that I don't think these guys had enough time with the playbook. And, you know, they're thrown into preseason games and some of them have to worry about their depth chart position. So they're not really thinking about the playbook right now. They're just worried about, I want to be second or third receiver on the team. Some of them even could be cut, some of the later round receivers.
And since we're talking about autos in this product, and we're kind of going a little off topic here, but since we're talking about autos, we did pull the A.J. Green, if I'm not mistaken, it's inserted into all the Topps products.
It is. It's the continuity program, which is a big word that I always struggle with, but it's in every Topps football product. It's a rookie red zone. So basically, it's an on-card auto number to 100. So we
red signature, red pen.
Yes, yeah. I think it's actually rookie red zone is what they call it. But it's from the premiere. It's them taking a photo of them smiling, so it's not, you know, them throwing the football or getting tackled or something. It's a photo of them, and pretty nice looking cards. We happen to pull that one. Big pull, big hit. So.
Number to 100.
Number to 100. So
very nice.
Yeah, I don't think that those are going to fall that often in Topps football jumbo.
Probably so not going to get one every pack.
But, you know, I'm not going to rate it based on that because that's not part of the set. But as far as autos for me, sticker autos, they weren't numbered, which seems kind of typical of Topps' bottom of the barrel set, you know, their base set, what we call it. I mean, let's face it, Topps, baseball and football, just their basic, are known for their base cards. They're really not known for their hits. Over the last couple years, they've pumped it up. The autos, I'm going to have to just give it a C because they did have a good correlation. There wasn't a whole lot of variation of style of autos. They were all the game day autos. So, and they weren't numbered. So it's I'm just going to give it an average rating of a C.
Oh, I got it. I forgot about my rating.
Yes.
I sat there just talking about it, going off topic. I'm gonna give it a I'll give it a B minus. It is sticker autos, but the thing is, going into it, I didn't have huge expectations. But they were done well, and you know, it's for the product what it is. You know, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think the corners were a little bit, as far as the look, the corners were a little dinged because they were like black around the outside, so which we'll get to in our Inception talk as well. But they were a little bit dinged coming out of the pack because of the coloring of the card themselves. So,
A little chipping,
a little bit, you know, you probably wouldn't grade it type, but I don't know if those cards are the ones you grade anyway. So, so you gave it a B, right?
I gave it a B minus.
For those of you taking notes at home. Moving on to mem pieces. Now, we used to call it jerseys, but I'm going to switch it to mem pieces because it's either event-worn.
Mem is short for memorabilia.
You're catching on.
Smart.
Yeah, picking it up. So, mem pieces. Actually, I was pretty impressed by the mem pieces. They're kind of evolving, and Topps and Panini, for that matter, are putting in multicolored patches, which is cool. I was impressed with them. We had a Colin Kaepernick, which was like three-color. We had some nice multicolored patches that were in the set.
Yeah. The patches were just absolutely disgusting. They were just like multicolored, some like little like pieces of team logos, and I mean, it was just like sick. The one issue that I had with it, not numbered.
Yeah.
With something that looks like that, multicolored, like patch, lettering, like logo, stuff like that, you gotta put a number on it, Tops. So you have to number it.
Yeah.
It just kind of devalues the product when it's not numbered.
Right. Or, yeah, and we're gonna get into that in our Inception as well. I think that everybody's, you know, they've heard the collectors say, hey, we want multicolors, blah, 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 blah. But now they're putting multicolored as a standard, and it's like, how many jerseys does this guy wear? You know what I mean? Did this guy? I mean, we've all seen the photo of Mark Ingram wearing 18 jerseys, but you know, it's devalued. I mean, if you have 1,000 cards that are all multicolored, I mean, there's probably more than that. What's the value on it anymore?
Well, it destroys the value.
Right.
So I know it's a catch 22 with Tops. Like, they're probably listening to a lot of people saying, I want, if you're gonna keep on doing the memorabilia pieces and the patch cards and stuff like that, I want multicolor. I want stuff that just like comes out of the card. I want stuff like, I want stitching. I want all this. So they're giving it to us, and now it's not numbered. So now you're gonna get people complaining like, well, now there's thousands and thousands and thousands of the multicolored patches.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can't please everybody at the end of the day. I think they're going in the right direction. But if I had to give mem pieces, I'm going to give that a B-.
I'm going to give it a B. And the only thing that's holding it back from getting an A...
The non-serial.
The non-numbered. It's just how many of them are there. I mean, right. Did I just get a Cam Newton multicolored sick patch and there's 400,000 of them?
Right.
Exactly. I don't know.
You don't know. That's another thing that we've talked about until we're blue in the face. We've said it on multiple podcasts, is how many actual print runs is it? They should have a website that actually just, you know, don't put it on the card. You know, don't put 10,000 on the card, but have somewhere where we know exactly the print run. So it makes me think that if the product's hot still, they'll put out more of it.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, to save face, Top should be doing this. There's no reason why they shouldn't.
And just be transparent.
It's not. Is it really going to hurt their bottom line to tell people how much of this product is being produced?
Well, I mean, I guess on the flip side of that, it might hurt like people trying to sell it on eBay because they know that, oh man, there's 15,000 of these. I can just wait.
Yeah, but I think everybody's assuming there's a lot more than there actually is.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, actually, so, put a number out there.
Yeah, to put a number out there and say, hey, look, we made 100,000 cases of Topps Jumbo.
Yeah.
We made 100,000 cases of it. Well, at first, the first color, I mean, it's going to, the peak, out of, I mean, when it gets first released, if there's 100,000 of them, it's probably not going to come out of the gate at a strong number.
Right.
It's probably going to, but you know, after 6 months, when it starts drying up,
value
people will
up.
Know. Power, yeah. Value will go up, definitely. And it goes up on the individual cards, too. Like, I just wish they would give us an idea. It doesn't have to be an exact number, but anywhere from, say, 5,000 to 15,000 cases produced. And that's all you got to say. I mean, I know Topps has to release that information to somebody.
Some of these lower-level companies like ITG and even Leaf are doing some of their products. They're numbering the boxes. So you got box 90 out of 99 or whatever on their higher-end sets, which I think is kind of cool because you know...
Well, a TriStar is releasing something
that's like that as well.
That and they're only doing 75 cases. So, you know, but the thing is that it doesn't have the big boy's name on it.
Right.
So,
well, they're trying to find loopholes in order to get their product set themselves above the rest, which I feel them. I mean, I'm a small entrepreneur business owner myself, and I want to do what the other guy's not doing too, so... but moving on to base sets and parallels for Topps Jumbo Football. I think this is where it really shines and where it shines every year. It's what it's for. A lot of correlation, a lot of guys. There's only one series, so you got a good amount of guys per team. I don't know the exact number of the checklist. I want to say it's at least 300 to 500. But you got your parallels. We got like 5 or 6 black number to 60. Or actually number to 55. And we got a good amount of gold number to 2011. There's some nice inserts in there where it's a face of the franchise, where it's, you know, Namakom Su and Nick Fairley, or they actually had a Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, which was kind of cool, I guess. It's kind of not current, but, you know, was a face of the franchise. So pretty cool. Base sets, if I had to give the base set, that's where I'm going to give my A. That's my A right there. I think it's for the kids. It's also for the collector, not just for the kids. Got to be 6 and over, though, just like the box says, but... It's nice to collect, you know, and it's nice to build your set, get that nice little Topps binder, and have everybody from the 2011, you know, series.
Yeah. You know, it is a set building set. The parallels didn't really do anything for me. It's like the same thing they did with baseball, and I know it's the same year, so there's gonna be the same idea of what they're doing. But the black border numbered to 55, I think Topps did numbered to 60
for baseball.
Didn't really do anything. Not a lot of flash to it. Just a basic parallel. The inserts, like the Super Bowl legend inserts, pretty cool. They look like the old Pro Line style cards from like the late 80s, early 90s. You know, I don't look at these cards and, I mean, they don't really do anything for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a C. It's what I expected. I thought they could have done a little bit better with the inserts. It kind of seemed like they went try to go retro style a little bit. Didn't really do anything for me. The number cards, like I said, black border didn't really do anything for me. So yeah, I'm going to give it a C. It's what I pretty much expected. It was nothing out of the ordinary.
Value, which is going to lead me into some recent sales of the cards. Now, what I did is I went on eBay and I searched the higher sales of cards that came out of the set. Not really a whole lot of value on the hits. The best that have sold in the last couple of weeks was a 2011 Emmitt Smith Super Bowl auto numbered to 25, which is a dope card, sold for $175 on eBay. And your rookie premier autos, which are in the set, we didn't get any, so they're probably pretty rare. Rookie premier Cam Newton sold for about $120. So those are your higher end cards that were pulled from the set. So overall value, the value is going to take the place over the rip and flip. We're not doing rip and flip anymore. I'm going to have to give the value a D based on you're not going to be able to really make any money off the set. It's great for collecting. It's not for big hits. The hits are bonuses. But overall value, I'm going to have to give it a D.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking on the open market, we're talking about $80, maybe $90 per box. You will not get $80 to $100 out of the box. Unless you're able to put together a full set, usually you have to do about 3 to 4 boxes to get that. And you can usually sell the set for X amount of dollars, but you're still not going to be making a profit. So when it comes down to value, not the product for you.
Right.
If you're trying to make a little bit of money on the side, not the product to bust. It's for collectors. It's for basically collecting. A lot of people collect this series of Topps every year, and they just have binders, and it's a cool conversation piece. It's a cool thing to nostalgia, look back on 20 years and flip through it. It's very cool, but not a product to make money on.
Yeah, I mean, you go to Target and you buy some napkins and steak knives. I know I do that once a week, buy those two products together, and then I pick up a pack of Topps. You know, that's what it is. Pick up a pack of Topps, you know, here and there, pick a pack of Topps, $3. You know, I think they're going for $1.99 in Target. So, you know, it's a real cheap way to, you know, get some possibilities of getting something and then building the set. So
I think your best bet with making money is going to your local card store and probably buying 3 or 4 packs and see what happens. Don't get too financially invested in it. I probably wouldn't go out and buy a case. I probably wouldn't go out and buy a bunch of boxes.
Right.
Unless you have no intention of making money. You just want to build a set.
And there's a lot of people like that.
Yep.
So what would your grade be on it?
My grade on the overall value is going to be a D.
Okay. We agree on something for once.
We do.
All right. That takes us into uniqueness, which probably doesn't need to be talked about a whole lot. One thing I do give them credit for is they had some commemorative pieces in there, which I really have not seen in other sets. So I'm going to give them on that. What happened was we pulled a Bart Starr. It was numbered, which was cool. It was numbered to 75, and it was a commemorative coin. Now, it's not, you know, it's not dated from the Super Bowl, but it is. I mean, it's not from that era, but it was reproduced. So it's a manufactured coin, which was kind of cool. I mean, that's where the uniqueness in this set falls. And they also do, like, Super Bowl rings for Joe Montana that are unique. So that is my only saving grace from not giving it a bad grade. So I'm going to give it an average in uniqueness by giving it a C. It's been done every year. I mean, it's the same basic thing. What they did is they upped the patch, so there's more multicolored patches, and they put two autos in it this year. So that's about the only uniqueness from last year's
set. Yeah, I don't really see too much uniqueness out of this set. Hard for me to give any kind of like grade on it because they haven't started with the giveaway, Super Bowl giveaway, like legend cards yet. So I haven't really seen what that's going to be about. I know they said that they're going to be giving away, based on those cards as with the codes on them, those code cards, they're going to be giving away Joe Namath autos. Hmm. And there's also the same thing as like you collect Super Bowl rings and stuff like that. And so we'll see how that goes. I think right now I'm thinking for uniqueness, it's a D. It's nothing crazy. It's pretty much your run-of-the-mill standard tops base set. So yeah, we'll wait and see what happens.
You're gonna give it a D?
I'm gonna give it a D.
So balancing out the grades, we added up all the categories because we're mathematicians here at Mojo Break. My grade is a C plus with an average of 76. So Topps Jumbo Football gets a C plus. Dan's winds up being 73, which is a borderline CC minus. So that's your. Basically, what that tells me is that's your average set. Nothing bad, nothing really good. So it's mediocre. All right, well, that leads us right into Topps Lineage Baseball, which should be called Crappage or Seepage. Maybe Anal Seepage. I don't know if there's a better word for that. But basically, I had real high expectations on the set. Seen the sell sheet, a lot of old-school-looking reprinted stuff. And the case we opened was an absolute dud. The correlation of the product was crap. Dan, what do you have to say about it?
Oh, man. I really thought I was going to see some cards from my childhood here. Some, you know, late 80s, like, top stuff. Some early, like, 90s tops, like, base style looking cards. The sell sheet had, like, a sick Nolan Ryan auto on it. I was thinking about seeing some cards from that era, but wow, they really, really laid a turd on this one. I mean, it just seemed like it was a handful of teams that just kept on getting all the hits. Very little, like, correlation. Nothing exciting. Literally, the old school vintage autos were guys that nobody's ever heard of. I mean, dudes who, like, played 3 years, hit 220, had 16 home runs, middle relief pitchers that nobody cared about. Topps, come on.
And, you know, they could say that they're giving back to the collectors, but these guys that signed were in the 20s. Do we really think that our great-great-grandpas are collecting cards still? No, they aren't. I think the core group of card collectors probably go up to about my dad's age, which is, you know, in his 60s, down to us that are in our 20s, and then you also have the new fans. So to give a guy that played in the 30s a card to sign, which, you know, respect to the older crowd, so no disrespect here, but, I mean, the guy probably could barely sign the card to begin with, and no one cares about that. I mean, some of the older guys, like McCovey and stuff, that would have been cool, but they got, like Dan said, guys that they were riding the pine. I mean, they might as well have had Bat Boys sign the cards.
I mean, I would like to see guys like, you know, not because I'm a homer, but Will Clark autos,
right?
Be exciting. How about it? Like even stuff that guys like haven't played for a while, like maybe a David Justice, like throwback, like rookie auto, like on a card.
Yeah,
like stuff where like Kent Herbeck. I mean, anybody. Danny Gladden. I mean people who played Gary Gaetti. I mean, there's a lot of guys like. Basically, card collecting really got big in, like, I would say the mid to late 70s to now. And it really, really hit in, like, the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
And that's where your core following is. And that's where you should move the nostalgia. It should be, like, those guys. Like, the guys who played in, like, the late 70s, early 80s, like a Wade Boggs or a Greg, or like a George Brett or...
And I don't mind having these old guys, but let's have a variation of, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s now. Let's have a variation. If you're going to call it a lineage, cover everything. Not just, I mean, there was literally one 1950 card in every pack, and it wasn't even like that great of a guy. It was like in every, or not in every pack, every box had an old guy that no one's ever heard of. And then to couple it with that, we're talking about autos. This is our first category of the review system. Coupled with that, they had mediocre stars of today.
Yeah, Francisco Carmona.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, they had a Charlie Morton from Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
Where's the David Ortiz or the Frank? You know, Frank Thomas or something. That's an old school player. I mean, where's the?
Where's the Hayward? Where's the Posey?
They do have Posey autos in the set. But.
Where's the Freeman? Where's the guys who are today? Ellsbury, Pedroia, yeah. Like today's stars. I mean,
they had like Lyle Overbay. I don't even remember. I pretty much blocked that day out of my mind because it was just like, it was mind numbing.
And even the jersey pieces, single color, no like variation. And we're talking like the same thing. Like we're talking like the Charlie Mortons of the league.
Yeah.
And we're talking like the Max Scherzers of the league. And
right. Guys that are like 6th or 7th best on their team right now.
I think the best jersey pieces we received were like a single color Mel Ott.
Or Monty Irvin.
Monty Irvin.
Yeah. Well, actually, we should probably stop on autos and give it a grade. I'm a D minus for me. I mean, I should give it an F, but it was horrible. D minus.
I'm going to say D minus, and the only thing that's keeping it from getting an F is they had on-card autos.
Yeah.
That was it. That was literally the one thing that this product was holding on to.
They had on-card autos of the old guys. I mean, the guys, let's face it, these guys are in retirement homes. They had nothing to do. But there's a lot of guys that aren't doing anything. I mean, they couldn't have called them up. I mean, was this a budget set? I don't get it. I mean, it was a fairly higher priced set. It wasn't $50 a box.
There's guys out there that will... Albert Bell. What's Albert Bell doing?
Right.
Yeah, I would like an autographed card from Albert Bell.
Or Matt Williams. I know he coaches, but, you know, I mean, off-season. Plan this out. We don't need anything current. Lineage should have been planning it for years.
Craig Biggio, Jeff Bagwell, Derek Bell. I mean, there's a lot of guys.
You just named all three killer bees.
Andres Galarraga, Dante Bichette, Vinny Castilla. I mean... Come on. There's a lot of stuff you guys could have went over.
Maybe we got a dud box, you know, but I've been looking at stuff on eBay, and it's really not been great stuff. To give them credit and then take away a little bit of credit, there is Nolan Ryan and Hank Aaron autos, but they're redemptions.
Oh.
Yeah. Couldn't get Hank Aaron a sign, and, you know.
I know where to find Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, he's around.
Isn't he the president of the Rangers?
Yes.
He's pretty much there all the time.
Well, I mean, they could have sent him the card years ago. But anyways.
They know where he's at.
Same thing with the... They could have got Pete Rose. Pete Rose is almost homeless in Vegas. I mean, they could have found him in a snap. He probably would have signed for a couple blackjack chips.
Yeah.
You know?
Give old Pete a chance.
You know? They could have had a... Should have made it in a Hall of Fame set and put him in there. I don't know. He'll sign.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Then,
but you know what? In a correction, we didn't open up a box. We opened up a full case.
We opened up a full case. So, I mean, we're giving you an honest grade on here. We don't do rip and flip, but if we would have done horribly on trying to sell these cards.
I'm not shitting you.
The worst we've ever had.
We paid, and I'm gonna throw it out. We paid well over $800 for this case. And we probably, if we would have sold the cards, we may have made about $150 back.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, we're talking. That's pretty generous right there.
It is. Which moves on to memorabilia pieces, which you touched on a little bit. The only thing that we got different now, I don't know. This is going to show my lack of old school card knowledge, but they used a set that was a smaller card, and it was I would say from the 70s or the 60s. And they put a little cutout of the memorabilia piece on the bottom of the card, single colored, completely awful.
I think it's a late 70s card.
Yeah, it's got those multicolored look to it.
Because
were they actually that size?
They were that size. There's a Robin Yount rookie card.
That's
and there's also a George Brett rookie card. That's that series of card.
Gotcha.
And I can't remember exactly what year, but I want to say it's like 70. 75, 76, something like that.
Yeah, they're the smaller cards. Shows you my lack of knowledge. Posted on our Facebook what set that was from. I'm sure I'll find out here after I do some research. The only saving grace for me not giving a complete crap grade was we did pull a Mike Mussina, which I guess you call the case hit, but a Mike Mussina 60th anniversary patch, which had a really good size patch with pinstripes, numbered to 25. Awesome card. Should have done more like that. They would have made a lot more of that, maybe even numbered it to 100 and maybe got two or three of those a case. That would have been dope. I mean, Mike Mussina wasn't a huge name by any means, but he's a Yankee, and, you know, people do like Mike Mussina.
Yeah, I wasn't really excited about that. I mean, it is Mike Mussina. It could have been anybody else. I know it's a Yankee, and it was numbered to 25.
Yes.
But it's also a $25 card.
Keeps our, yeah, we looked it up. It's about a $25 card on eBay. It does keep our streak of pulling Yankees hits alive. Ever since we started this case breaking, every baseball product that we've busted has had a Yankee hit.
Yep.
So, consistency at its best.
So, if you find us, you should buy some Yankees from
us. Yeah, we're Yankee pullers. We might as well move to the Bronx. But I would be giving it a D- except for that Mussina card. That's the only one that gave me a slight chub. So, from a D-, I'm going to give it a D. So, it's going to get a D.
Yeah, we're thinking the same here. I'm going D. All
right. Well, it just makes the math even easier. As far as the base set, I don't think that there was really a use for a Giant card, which was the box topper. And I'm not talking about San Francisco Giants. I'm talking about a card that's just bigger than the rest of them.
A little bit bigger.
A little bit bigger. It was kind of stupid. It was actually, if you took two baseball cards, it was probably about that size. And maybe a little bit wider, and you get one per box. It's under the box topper called the Giant card. I guess they have parallel versions of it. We didn't get it. That was kind of stupid. I think it was not needed, especially when you're case breaking. How do you ship it? I should be asking you that. How do you ship that card?
It's a good question. I'll get back to you on that.
But as far as the set, you know, it probably was its shining grace because I think the 3D cards were cool, which was bringing it back. They also had a numbered version of the 3D card, which we did get one, 100 pence. They had some different variations.
3D cards, pop-up cards,
yes.
Mini cards, Giant cards. I do have to say, Ryu, did I just cut you off?
No, yeah. go right ahead.
I do have to say the base set didn't really do anything. The parallels, the inserts, I like them. I remember those 3D cards back in the day. The mini cards don't really do much for me, but they don't piss me off either.
Yeah.
The pop-up cards, it's new, thinking outside of the box. I like that.
Well, it's been done, but they're bringing it back.
It's been done, but they're bringing it back, and nobody else has really done anything like that. So from a nostalgia standpoint, I really like it. I actually had to say, for the base set, I'm going to give two different grades. I'm going to average it out. The base set, I'm thinking I'm going to give it a D. But the parallels, I'm going to give it a B. So it's a C.
It's actually, I think, on the same wavelength as me. I almost felt like there should have been bubblegum in the packs, too, because it just kind of gave you that...
From the 80s?
Yeah, it kind of gave you like, oh, it's bubblegum time, you know? I'm going to chew on some unflavored piece of crap.
No, they should have kept the old bubblegum and put it in there. Like, bubblegum that's like 30 years old.
Hey, that's a good idea.
I know.
We could use a... used bubblegum relics or something.
Cards. Yeah, absolutely. I just had this in my mouth.
But I do give it a C because it did. The base set itself had some new guys and some old guys. You got some Eddie Murray in there, some Nolan Ryan. So it's a good. I guess it's a good collectible set. I don't know. Did they make retail of that? Is that in the retail stores?
I think they made. Yeah, they made retail of it.
They did make retail.
Yeah.
Value is probably going to get my first F because. There has been some decent sales on eBay, so it did pass up our last review segment, which we talked about Topps football. A Hank Aaron auto reprint, which is a redemption, sold for $400. I don't know if it's numbered. I'm assuming it is. Also, a Sandy Koufax'd, Koufax'd, like I faxed you something.
Koufax'd.
Sandy Koufax autograph redemption reprint sold for $370, and a Stan Musial, they call it Canary, gold on card auto, which was not a redemption, sold for $250. So not bad. So there's some value in that, but we opened a whole case and we didn't even get anything that was worth more than $20. So for the value for me, I'm gonna give it an F.
I'm giving it an F. Absolutely.
Dan's giving it an F. I'm giving it an F. So, moving on to uniqueness.
Uniqueness, yes. It has it. Based with all the different, like, parallel inserts and all that stuff. A unique set. Nothing quite like it on the market right now. There's definitely some vintage style cards, but nothing that actually is a straight replica of those cards.
Right.
So for uniqueness, I'm going to give it a B. I felt like it was out of the box, and it was pretty damn unique.
And B for you?
I'm going to give it a B.
I'm still just dumbfounded by all the other categories on just the crap that came out of the set. I'm going to give it a C+. So borderline on the B. Especially when you buy hobby versions of something, you expect something a little bit better on your hits. So, cases are tanking, by the way. So, and you can see it hobby wide. No, everybody's forgotten about the set, unfortunately.
Yeah, we're looking at like $600 on the bay right now.
$600 on the case, and people are doing auctions. So they're obviously not getting a buy it now of what they want. So they're starting it at $1 or whatever that is, and letting it run up and seeing what it falls. But yeah, they're getting about $600 and maybe right under $700 per case. So. All right, so now for our final grades on the set. All right, so that gives us an overall of me at the 65, which is a D, and Dan at 67, which is a D+. So that's where we get the name Crappiage, Topps Crappiage set. So
that's a rough go at it, Topps.
Rough go at it.
I think that may be our lowest rating ever to date.
It is, and what we're going to do also is I'm going to keep track of all these scores, and you know, a year from now or at the end of this year, I'm going to kind of compile and see who was the winner out of the review segment.
Yeah, so. Then next year we can go over if a certain product did well, how the following year, the follow-up product.
Exactly.
So, you know, we're doing work for you.
Hit subscribe. Subscribe. You know, listen to us on Stitcher. There's also different apps for your podcast or for your phone. You can't really talk into a podcast, but for your phone, Android app. There's a Libsyn Hotbox app, podcast box app. But getting into Inception, which is going to be a boner review. We need to have a boner review song, theme song playing in the background. We did two cases on Wednesday, as you can see on sales on eBay. Stuff's hot. Football's back. I think it was perfect timing for the Inception. Probably a good idea that they pushed this back. I think they knew. People are excited about rookies, preseason football. These guys are playing. Start right off into the auto category. I was really impressed with the autos, on-card autos. Wasn't very many redemptions. The relic autos are sticker autos, but you know, you can't complain there. But some really nice stuff.
They're inset though. They're inset sticker autos.
Yes, yeah, so they don't quite look like
sticker autos, but. Yeah, they're a little slightly inset into the card. Overall, very very strong rookie class in my opinion. Doug, you want to go over your autos?
Yeah, I mean, as it's talking about sticker autos, you know, we had an elite, which, you know, the chintzy looking autos from Panini, where it would be like they cut out a space on the card, really made the sticker stand out. The relic autos on here, like we just talked about.
Complete opposite.
Looks good. The drawback to the card itself, which is what everybody's biggest complaint and probably everybody's only complaint, is the chipping of the card. The cards are pretty much all black. They're really glossy, nice looking photos. The photos almost look like drawings.
A really dark card though.
Very dark card, and I think anything gets damaged in the player holding the card because they're on card, so they obviously got to touch the card. Might be a lot of hands touching those cards. They show chipping and denting, so that's the drawback to the set. But I don't know if there's really anything you can do about that because they're real big stock. They're anywhere from 70 point on up to 180 point card stock. So they're very thick cards. So when you deal with thick cards that are black, you're going to deal with chipping and denting. That's just kind of how it works. But to give the autos, I'm going to have to give the autos an A, just a standard A, which is a high grade for me. Just because you got the on-card autos, you got the variations of the autos, got Cam Newton, anybody that you would dream of rookie-wise in the set.
I'm going to give it a B. The on-card autos, very, very nice. The sticker autos are done well. Could have been on a card. It would have been a perfect roll if it was. Inset, so it doesn't really look like it's a sticker auto, but it is. So I'm going to have to give it a B. Also, the checklist. Very limited checklist for me when it comes to autos.
Yeah.
So I know it's all the guys who are at the rookie premiere. It's just, it's hard to get excited when there's only 35. I mean, you're going to get a lot of doubles. You're going to get a lot of, like, of the same guy. And from what I've heard, I think the top guys like Ingram and Newton and Green and Jones, Dalton are short printed in the set.
So yeah, you don't get as many of them.
The autos are also some of them, like a Stephen Ridley. I mean, they're numbered like 900.
Right.
So it's a little high numbering. So those are basically the factors that are making it so I can't give it an A, but I'll give it a B, a solid B.
Yeah, and you know, what kept it from perfection for me is, you know, I guess it is a rookie set. It's good that they didn't, like, you look at Prestige and you had guys that weren't drafted. They pretty much picked the best of the best when it comes to rookies. You can't sit there and go, there's a rookie missing that's a top rookie. It really isn't.
Well, you don't know, though.
You don't know until the season starts.
Because once season starts, there might be a guy who is drafted in the fourth or fifth round who's starting, killing it, gonna make it to the Pro Bowl, basically taking the team on his back, and you're not gonna get him in that set.
Right. Yeah.
So you're gonna have to wait until something like, say, National Treasures or Sterling
right.
Football.
And it's just a progression of the set, I guess. But that would be my only complaint. Maybe even throw maybe just like one of one veteran autos. I mean, we obviously know that this set is all about the rookie, so you don't want to take away from that. But maybe put some one-on-one veteran stuff just as an added bonus. I don't know. I guess you can get the continuity program, but that would be rookies as well. I guess that you have a chance of getting those in there.
Yeah, I mean, how about you don't have to go veterans, but you can go Hall of Famers. You can go Deion Sanders. You can go
Michael Irvin.
You can go Michael Irvin. You can go you can do Hall of Famers, like short printed number to 10 Hall of Famer autos.
Right, yeah.
Or you can actually do a throwback and do guys who were top draft picks. Maybe not even in the Hall of Fame, but you can put in like a Phillip Rivers auto because he was a top draft pick, or a Peyton Manning, or a Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Or you know, if you really want to start getting nuts, you can put in a David Carr auto.
Tim Couch.
Achilles Smith.
Yeah.
Kajana Carter. You know, guys who were, you know, throw a little spin on it.
I'm waiting for somebody to come out with the first round bust set auto checklist.
That's nice. Well,
they'd have to be sticker, because if they had to sign him on card, I don't think these guys would agree to do that.
Well, they'd have to be sticker, and they would probably have to get some kind of, because a lot of these guys are in prison. I mean, it's hard. It's going to be hard to get a Lawrence Phillips auto.
Yeah, or the guy that we just talked about in the last segment, Jermaine Lewis. Don't think he was a first rounder, but
The guy from Carolina who's in prison.
Oh
receiver.
Yeah, the guy who killed his girlfriend and unborn son. What was his name again?
Ray Caruth.
Yeah, good knowledge. But you know, guys start doing that later in their career. Look at Bill Buckner. I mean, he signed his photo of the ball going underneath his legs. He's embraced it.
Yeah, but I can guarantee you, in 1987, he wasn't doing that.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit too early for Jamarcus to sign hot dogs.
Too soon, but
or sign purple drink relics. I mean, that's a little early, but you know, would be kind of a nice set. Maybe Panini Americana can throw it in the first round bust.
That'd be rough.
Tim Couch can sign a piece of the couch that he sits on while he watches football now because he doesn't play anymore. Going into the mem pieces, bitten back on topic of Inception mem pieces. It's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, I really like the way they look. They do blow your mind. I mean, there's a lot of four-color, three-color. They hit the mark on that. But where I am a little disappointed, and now this is just a little disappointed, is the fact that stuff that was numbered to $5.99 was three-color. That's kind of where it's like, why is it that? I mean, you pull it out of the pack, and you're like, I'm getting numbered to 50, you know, or something, or numbered to 25, but it's like numbered to 1,100, and you're like, how is that a four-color patch? How many freaking jerseys did this guy wear? Goes back to an earlier segment we were talking about, you know. So my mem pieces, I mean, but other than that, the mem auto relics, very nice. So I do give them credit on that. Some nice looking stuff, but they obviously went for multicolor.
Yeah, and they do have some, the jumbo patches that are numbered to 4, laundry tags are numbered to 1, NFL logo shields numbered to 1. But yeah, they did, a lot of the 3-color patches were numbered to something crazy like $299 or something right. like that. And you think it would be a little bit lower. They were nice. My issue was with the jumbo relics.
Right.
So you have the smaller relics, which usually was like a piece of the sleeve, piece of the number, a lot of color, a lot of flash to it. And every single rookie jumbo relic we got, just one solid color.
Yeah, we had a Ryan Mallett number at 25, which is the green version.
And yeah, just solid color. I mean, why didn't they put color variation in those, what they consider jumbo relics, which are obviously harder to pull?
Somebody needs to get fired at Tops. They have it all wrong.
So that was my issue, and because of that, I'm gonna give the memorabilia pieces, I'm gonna give it a B-.
You know, that's a good enough grade. I think I'm gonna go with the B- as well, because it was good. Don't get me wrong. It's a very minor issue, you know. I think mem pieces, jersey pieces, are kind of falling by the wayside, especially when they're not numbered.
I think they're gonna be. Somebody is going to revamp them to where it's gonna completely change. Like the standard, like say the Ginter style memorabilia pieces are gonna be. They're gonna be fading those away. Those little tiny cut jersey pieces.
Yeah.
That stuff is going to be fading away. Somebody's going to come out with a really, really good idea, and the stuff that you see now is just going to change.
It is. You know, it's just single-colored stuff. I mean, the Ginter was just a good example. I mean, the only saving grace on the look of the Ginter is the mini inside of the bordered card, but that's all. We're talking baseball on that one, but we'll get back to football. Yeah, I mean, everybody's obviously jumping on the train. We've seen it in Rookies and Stars, where it was a lot of multicolored patches. And Topps is doing the same thing. So that's kind of the 2011 memorabilia pieces, multicolor.
It's gonna, but the thing is with them coming out like this, it's gonna take away from the older stuff, like the National Treasure stuff, where it was like a lot of color, like stuff like where it's a, like for instance, we pulled a Ryan Matthews out of National Treasures last year that was a lightning bolt, sick lightning bolt. You can get that now in Inception for. For what's his name, Jordan Todman. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah,
and that's going to devalue what used to be considered
a strong hit. Yeah, I mean, I guess it does. You have to consider the numbering, but
yeah.
As far as the base sets and the parallels, I mean, you're not after that with this set, but I think they did a good job on it. They're thick stock, and they have in a pack. You have two base cards that aren't numbered, and then two parallels that are numbered. And they're numbered anywhere from, I think, in the 200s down to 25, possibly. I think even 101s.
They do. So, platinum 101s.
Platinum 101s, which we didn't get anything numbered 101, but we did get some numbered 25. We got Calvin Johnson numbered 25. So, you know, and it's the veterans. That's where the veterans shine. So that's all the veteran stuff. They don't have base rookies. So all the rookies are in the hits, and then all the base is the veterans. So... as far as base set and parallels, I'm gonna give that a B+.
Looks like the base checklist is about 100 for the veterans.
About two to three a team.
About two to three a team. They do have variations. There is blue, which is 1 per pack. There's gray number to 79, green number to 50, red number to 1, and framed printing plates numbered 1 of 1. Kind of the standard run of the mill. Very good, sharp-looking card. I do like the photo with the kind of like ambient type look behind it. It's not your typical like action like photo shot. It's like it's got a little artsy vibe to it, and it is it's different. It's definitely
it does kind of scream high end though.
It does have a high end vibe to it. Definitely the base cards have a high end vibe to it. So for the base and parallel set, I'm going to go ahead and give it a B. Nothing out of the box. The numbering is pretty basic. The checklist was numbered to 100. It's not something that you're probably going to go out and collect. You're probably not going to search for the base set. But, you know, it's a little bit more than filler, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we were putting them in top loaders regardless. So, I mean, they're good for that. Going on to value, I'm going to go over some of the cards that sold highest value. The highest value card in the last week was a Gabbert 1/1 auto laundry tag. It's a 1/1, just a regular base 1/1, no mem piece or anything. Sold for $500. So a guy had it up for best offer, sold it for $500. There's an Alex Green 1/1 auto. He's a wide receiver for the Packers. That was a laundry tag. That sold for $375. And there was two Cam Newton 1/1 Letterman autos, which is, you know, there's a letter for each one of his letters in his last name, so there's six of them, but each letter would be 1/1. So two of them sold for over $300. So there's probably a lot more value out there, but sometimes, you know, as you see on the eBay, some people want $10,000 for their Alex Green.
Yeah, these are prices that actually sold.
Right, these are sold. Some people think that they have a card that's made of absolute gold and they're trying to get $10,000 for it, and those don't sell. I mean, maybe they get lucky and somebody's drunk and buys their card because they're a really big fan of Aurelius Ben or, you know, whoever's on the card. But so value, I'm impressed with the value. I think, you know, we don't do rip and flip anymore, but I think this is one of the sets this year that you actually can get some value out of your investment. There was a guy on Blowout that bought six cases.
Mm-hmm.
And was actually broke even, which is usually unheard of when you buy that much value. And he only got 1/1 in six cases.
Well, we, out of two cases, we pulled a 1/1.
Yeah, we got lucky, pulled the Julio Jones 1/1 O. So autographed on patch. Very, very nice. You can see that on our Facebook if you haven't already.
As for me, value, out of all the football products that have come out this year, this is the one that has value behind it. You can purchase a case and probably make about 3/4 of your money back. And that is,
that's on a bad day.
That's on a bad day. And that in this hobby is, to me, that's winning.
Yes.
That is, if you can get 3/4 of your money back, that's, you did well. This is the one product so far, but not saying that this is going to be the only product, but it is hovering around $100 a box right now. Might be able to get it for a little bit less, but I see it drying up. I think, with my calculations, I think they made about 3,000 cases of this stuff. I could be wrong, but I'm going to say about 3,000 cases. A lot of them on eBay. A lot of them sold during the pre-sale. I think, I can see them going up to about 170, 180, once it really dries up.
Yeah, I mean, we actually decided to do a third break on it, and we literally sold out in almost less than 2 days, which is unheard of. So you can see that there's a lot of,
hype behind it. Sometimes, even when a product gets released, it can take us a couple weeks to sell the spots. And this one, literally, we're talking 2 days.
Yeah.
So that is an indication that there's a pretty big buzz out there on it. And if you can swoop up a case for in that 700, 750 range, and if you can swoop up boxes at 100, I'd go for it because it's a winner.
Yeah. Kind of like how hot Upper Deck Black was a couple years back, but because it's actually kind of almost the same concept with the silver pen and everything.
Yeah.
A lot more, Upper Deck had a lot more crap autos in it, but if I had to give the value on this, I'm actually going to give it an A on value, which is hard to come by these days.
Yep, I'm going to give it an A.
Sweet. So leads us to our last category, which is uniqueness. Not unique in any ways as far as autos or memorabilia pieces, but is unique in look of card. I mean, there really isn't anything like it. I guess, like I said earlier a couple seconds ago, Upper Deck Black might be the closest thing to it. But as far as the way the pictures look, like Dan said, with the action shots and everything in the kind of portrait and the artsy looking photo, I think it's definitely unique. I'm not going to give it an A, but I think I'm going to give it a B minus in uniqueness just because of the cool look of the photos.
I'm going to give it a B minus for uniqueness. It's not anything crazy out of the box. I honestly like standard size cards like I'm putting in 180 point top loaders. There's a lot of room for error there. It's difficult. I'm not a huge fan of the large stocked cards. When done right, I know Treasures does some thicker stock cards, mm-hmm. and they do well with it. But the chipping and out of the pack, some damage. I think you're going to get that with larger stock cards. So, uniqueness overall, I'm going to go ahead and give it a. I think I said a B minus.
All right. Well, that does it for our Topps Inception football review. Official boner review. My reviews averaged out to be about 86, which is a B plus. Dan's averaged out to about an 84, which is also a B plus, pretty much borderline B. So I think that's our best review so far.
So far, I would have to say.
You know, Rookies and Stars did pretty well. So far, football's been really good. I have a feeling that hopefully Bowman Sterling football and baseball will do really well as well. Those are the next ones I'm looking forward to. But we got a bunch of stuff in between that might surprise us. I know Finest is coming out soon. There's Triple Threads, which is always good. It's high price, but it's always good. Marquee might be good. So we'll see. All right. Well, we're going to end out the podcast with our baseball prospects segment. Now, I don't want to give myself a pat on the back or a brownie button yet, but if you've listened to past episodes, some of these guys have made it up already. Randall Delgado, Anthony Rizzo wasn't so hard to predict, but a lot of these guys' value went up, so invest, definitely. And we're giving you guys names that you can get fairly cheap to begin with. So go right into it. Tommy Joseph, a little bit of a homer pick, plays for the San Jose Giants. His last 10 games, he's averaging .409, hitting 7 home runs. Doesn't have any licensed autos, but you can pick up his autos in 2010 Elite for as low as $3. We've seen him climb as high as $20, so good investment. Another guy, Grant Green, he's in the A's AA system. For the last 10 games, he's averaging .463. I mean, that's batting title status right there. So 2 home runs, 7 RBIs. Another guy you can get in his Elite card from $5 to $15. You can also get his 2010 Bowman Chrome auto from $5 to maybe $20. So that's the non-numbered version. So good guy to invest in. Grant Green hasn't been, off people's radars, but he is a good guy to get. Another guy does not have an auto, but Jonathan Schoop, Baltimore single A, last 10 games, .447, 1 home run, 8 RBIs. You can only get his base cards, but you can get a nice refractor in the $5 range, like a number to 500 refractor. So another guy who just got traded to the Rockies that was involved in the Ubaldo Jimenez deal, Alex White. He's over his last week, he's 1-0, 11 innings pitch, only 5 hits and 7 strikeouts. So he's got a nice looking auto in 2009 Bowman Sterling that you can pick up for about $7. So I actually have it. Bowman Sterling, 2009 Bowman Sterling is kind of weird because it's picking up. You got the Tommy Mendonca in there. You got the Mike Trout. The boxes are going for real cheap right now because they didn't really have a big name. So might be a nice box to rip into. There's some stuff on eBay for between the 160 to 200 range, which is really good for Sterling. Last guy is going to be the buy of the week. Michael Choice plays for Stockton Ports, which is a single A. Oakland A's. Got 2 Oakland guys and 1 Giants guy. What can you say? I'm from the Bay Area. But you can get his 2011 Bowman Platinum. He has 28 home runs right now, by the way. Leading single A. Leading the California division. You can get his Bowman Platinum on card for about $5. So that's definitely the buy of the week. This guy came out first rounder, had a lot of promise. I think unfortunately with the A's, a lot of their guys don't go for a whole lot because it's kind of a little more of a small market team. But I think Michael Choice has a lot of power, has a really sweet swing. So that would be a guy I definitely recommend buying. I'm actually bidding on a few right now. So definitely got to pick up. So we're going to round out the episode with that. I got a free giveaway. Tried to give away something for free last episode. No one commented on it. So that one's nullified. But this one, Bryce Harper card. We're going to give you a 2011 Bryce Harper Bowman card. All you got to do is name the song that was played in this podcast episode. What I want to hear is the band and the song name. So put that on the Facebook. The first person to do so will get a Bryce Harper card. I'll contact you. I'll send it to you for free. So, and those of you wondering what's up with eBay that are involved in case breaks, looks like eBay's cracking down. They're haters. They're drinking the haterade right now, pulling off group breaks, saying it's a chance listing, that nothing's guaranteed, and it kind of makes them look bad as a business. You know, look, we got 100% feedback. People love us. A lot of group breakers that are doing the right thing out there. But we got some big plans coming up. Not going to give it away yet, but we're not done. We're going to be doing more group breaks. So contact us through the website. Stuff's going to be posted on the website. And for now, keep ripping those packs, watching the sport. Football's going to be big. My Niners just won. All right, peace.
MojoBreak.com.